Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Paradoxes of the cross. A paradox is a person or thing having seemingly contradictory qualities, a statement or a sentiment contradictory or opposed to common sense. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 33, we kind of see a paradox. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. The cross on which Jesus died has become a symbol of the Christian hope. We can read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." The cross represents the whole mission and life of Christ. All of his life and the totality of his earthly work pointed to the cross. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul writes, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Then we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of the blood, there is no remission." The death of Jesus on the cross, again, is a paradox. Again, a paradox is a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and yet is true. Something as a person or a condition or an act with seemingly contradictory qualities of phrases. So what are some of the paradoxes that we find of the cross of Christ and the cross? Number one, it was the greatest event in history, while at the same time, it was the worst event in history. It was the greatest event in history because Christ died and shed his blood for the sins of the world. But yet it was the worst event in history because the Savior had to die, and the hatred of the Jews that put him there. It was the greatest act of love while being the greatest act of hate. Christ went to the cross because of his great love for mankind. Yet it was the greatest act of hate, again, because of the Jews putting him on that cross. It was both a display of light and a display of darkness. Love and hate. The death of Jesus upon the cross is a paradox, and it's not really surprising because his entire life was a paradox. Not much of his life made sense to man, yet it makes the greatest sense to those who are spiritually minded. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Foolishness. Absurd. Crazy. You know, I can just imagine those that were alive in Christ's day, especially the Jews, those who simply would not listen to Jesus and his teaching. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Here's the paradox. How can a dead Savior save? It seems in human terms, if a Savior is going to save, then he must live in order to do so. But in the mind of God, Christ's death brought about man's salvation by the shedding of that blood. Christ had everything to lose and nothing to gain. Look, if you will, at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. I know it's kind of small, but please try to read along. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Christ had everything to lose. He left heaven. He became flesh and dwelt among men, dwelt among sinners. But yet, man, because of Christ and his sacrifice, had all to gain. Man has all to gain and nothing more to lose, because man had already lost his soul. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. No one's been left out. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's exactly what we deserved. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Though he stood to lose all, yet the great love of Jesus prompted him to come to this earth, to die on the cross, to shed his blood so that we might have the forgiveness of sin. So what are some of the paradoxes of the life of Christ in the cross? Jesus came into the world, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was the only reason Christ gave up his glory in heaven and became flesh. The only reason was to save sinners. That was the only reason. If Adam and Eve had not sinned in the garden, and every person from that time on never sinned, then Christ would not have had to come. But because of the sinfulness in the garden of Adam and Eve, and sinfulness throughout the entire time, from Adam and Eve until today, Christ had to die on the cross. Jesus came into this world, why? so that we may enter into heaven. Without Christ, we'd have no way to make it to heaven. Jesus came into this world so that we may enter into heaven. Jesus was born in the flesh. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was born in the flesh so that we can be born of the Spirit, John 3 and verse 5. Also 1 Peter 1 and 23. Jesus was born in the flesh so that we might be born of the Spirit. That's something that many times we fail to realize. That Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross. He was born of a woman, born in flesh, so that we might be born spiritually. Because before that, we were still lost in sin. Jesus was born of a woman, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. Adoption of sons. You know, we looked at this a little bit in our class this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Talking about the adoption of sons, being adopted. You know, it was set up before the foundation of the world on how men were going to be adopted as sons of God. What was set up before the foundation of the world? The way for mankind to be saved. And that entailed Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross. Jesus was born of a woman so that we may be born of God. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus, born of a woman, so that we might be born of God, that we might be adopted into the family of God. But that adoption, the laws for that adoption was written before the foundation of the world. Jesus, again, became the Son of Man, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Jesus became the Son of Man, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? Mankind. Jesus came, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, that we may be the sons of God. 1 John 3 and verse 1, chapter 2 and verse 29, and then also in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Jesus accepted poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, our sake, even today, he became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus accepted poverty. He gave up his glory. He gave up heaven. Came to this earth, accepted poverty that we might be made rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that we just looked at, that we may be rich through the poverty of Christ, him giving up everything and coming to this earth and dying on the cross, that we might be rich. Jesus was rejected of men. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Again, for he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus was rejected of men that we might be accepted of God. Again, Ephesians 3, verse 6, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, I believe, talks about Cornelius and Peter, that the Gentiles were now being accepted into the kingdom of God. Jesus was rejected of men that we might be accepted of God. Jesus became a man of sorrows. Most of you know the verse, Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus became the man of sorrows that we might rejoice and be glad. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus, the man of sorrows, that we might rejoice and be glad. You see the paradoxes in all of this? The things that Jesus did in order for us to receive. Jesus came into the world that we may enter into heaven. Jesus was born of the flesh that we might be born of the Spirit. Jesus was born of a woman that we might be born of God. Jesus became the Son of Man that we might be the sons of God. Jesus accepted poverty that we might be made rich. He was rejected of men that we may be accepted of God. And then Jesus became the man of sorrows that we may rejoice and be glad. And Jesus was made sin for us that we may be righteous before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you don't take anything else from this lesson today, take this verse. Take this verse. For he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. The Son of God, taking upon himself the sins of the world, that we might have eternal life. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus was made sin for us, that we may be the righteousness of God. Jesus was put to death, Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus was put to death so that we may be made alive. You remember the verse here earlier? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus took on our sin upon himself. And from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus was put to death so that we might be made alive. Jesus was made sin so that we might have the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus was cursed on this earth. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Jesus was cursed on this earth that we may be blessed above. Again, Jesus came into this world that we can enter heaven. Jesus was born in the flesh that we may be born of the Spirit. Jesus was born of a woman that we might be born of God. Jesus became the Son of Man that we may be sons of God. Jesus accepted poverty that we may be made rich. Jesus was rejected of men that we may be accepted of God. Jesus became the man of sorrows that we may rejoice and be glad. Jesus was made sin for us that we may be made righteousness before God. Jesus was put to death that we may be made alive. And Jesus was cursed on this earth that we may be blessed above. One of the most, I believe, one of the most beautiful songs that we have in our songbook, both in words and music, that we sing sometime, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. If you note especially the last verse, think of what the Lord requires of us. He gave his all for us. What should we give to him? Were the whole realm of nature mine, if everything was mine, the whole realm, everything being mine, there it would be a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Because Jesus died for you, what do you owe him? A realization of the greatness of Jesus and his sacrifice, I believe, should cause those who are outside of Christ to humble themselves in obedience and submission. And to the Christian, to increase our love for Christ. It should increase our service for the Lord and his cause, that of seeking and saving the lost. There's a great paradox concerning the cross of Christ. God Christ did this for us. It's that simple. Christ came, died on the cross for our sins because we could not save ourselves. So this morning, if you're here, if you're needed in prayer for whatever the reason might be, we'd ask that you'd come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Jesus is calling, calling, calling. Jesus is calling today. Why should I?